Hey folks, a quick show note today on a very special occasion, the birthday of one Mr. Jim Hill. Jim, how's it going? And happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm 59 years old, which I checked earlier today. I'm not officially a senior citizen. I have to wait 6 years for that. I guess 65. So I guess I'm just old and fat. So,
you're at that point where you're on the far end of middle age where people don't respect you for being a senior citizen. So you're just cranky old guy right now.
There we go. So,
are you at the point in your life yet where you can say everything you want unfiltered or no? Because my mom is already there, but she's 70.
You see, this is the problem. I work with people at the Walt Disney Company, and you got to be really careful what you say.
filter. Yeah, I get it. All right, Jim. So in honor of your birthday, I thought we should talk about the most famous birthday celebration in Disney World history, and that, of course, it happened on October 1st, 1996, the 25th anniversary of the opening of Walt Disney World. And what made it famous, James, is the single most polarizing issue in the entire theme park community, and that is the Cinderella Castle birthday cake.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, you know, that I actually drilled down into this, and it turns out I can tell you the woman who came up with the idea. Her name is Alice Noseworthy, and she worked with the Disney marketing team. And about a year and a half out from Disney World's 25th anniversary, it's like, well, look, it's the biggest anniversary we've had, and shouldn't we have something large to commemorate it? And so they came up with the concept of turning Cinderella Castle into a birthday cake. Now, mind you, the first couple of months of the meetings about this, we're meeting with, you know, the folks that actually built the castle at Imagineering, and it was like, you know, the Hippocratic Oath, only the castle version, you know. Just
like, first, do no harm to the castle.
No, that's it exactly, because it's fiberglass. It's not stone, and it's just the whole notion of, well, how much is this going to weigh, and, you know, how are you planning on doing it? And if that's how they eventually devolved to the plan of, you know, a lot of decorations, if you look at the photos now, I mean, yes, there's a lot of pink paint, there's over 400 gallons, but a lot of the decorations, when you look at the photos today, those are cold inflatables. I mean, for example, the blue and gray icing all over the cake, those are cold inflatables.
That was an inflatable. I didn't know that.
Yeah, over 1,000 feet of those, and so, you know, it took them 3 months to do this. All right, you know and so now here's, you know, October 1st, and you know they have, you know, the governor of Florida shows up, and Eisner's there, and Roy Disney himself rereads the dedication that his dad Roy O read, you know, on October, but it's Hillary Rodman Clinton who's there representing the president, who again diplomatically says, I have never seen a birthday cake like the one we're looking at today.
I've never seen a birthday cake like the one we're looking at today. I use that sort of line when somebody shows me their ugly baby. Look at that. I've never seen a baby like that ever.
But this is the thing. There are people who aren't as tactful as you, Len. In fact, they were there the opening day. In fact, the Des Moines Register was there covering the rededication, and the reporter there flat out said, "Look, many visitors don't like this one bit. You know, now why'd they have to go and do something like that?" Moaned Annette Johnson, 35 of Chicago, staring up at the castle cake, and it wasn't just the visitors to the Magic Kingdom that were talking this way. It was also the cast members who worked over at the Fairy Tale Wedding Pavilion.
I imagine there have got to be some people who got married in Walt Disney World who were surprised to find a giant fiberglass pink cake where they thought Cinderella Castle was going to be. You want to talk about Bridezilla and Groomzilla. Those people probably went crazy.
But it's so much worse than that, Len, because you have to remember that just 14 months earlier, the Wedding Pavilion opens, and Disney spent, you know, they built this man-made island, all right? And they
and
they built this faux summer cottage, and they deliberately faced the altar, so it had this leaded glass window. Like, let me read you right from that. This is, if you go to the website, this is what it actually says. Behind the altar, a leaded glass arch window perfectly frames a view of Cinderella Castle, accentuating a fairy tale moment when you exchange vows.
And okay, so my brother actually got married in the wedding pavilion, so I am familiar with this this location. It does the entire altar, the entire center of the wedding pavilion is literally built around that one archway, that arched window that looks out onto Cinderella Castle. So you're saying people weren't happy to see Pepto-Bismol in the background?
Oh God, no! And you got to remember that you know that they move couples in and out of there. I mean, they do some days 4 weddings a day out of that pavilion. So you're talking about 1,200 couples a year, you know. And from what I understand, just to try and honestly, a lot of the couples didn't know in advance until they got to the altar. Like, what's with the Pepto-Bismol thing in the background?
Whoa, not what I was expecting. Yeah, so I can imagine that. I mean, you've heard stories of people having weddings and then having something like slightly wrong shade of napkins or slightly wrong shade of flowers just throw them off completely to the point where they go off on rants. I can't imagine what would happen if they decided, oh yeah, that background of Cinderella Castle, yeah, giant pink thing now. I can't imagine what their reaction would be for that.
Oh, they comped flowers. They comped hotel rooms. They did everything they could to try to turn this around. And, you know, but honestly, this explains why New Year's Eve 1997, you know, the last guest is just chased out of the park. They begin tearing the decorations off of this thing. And by January 31st, 1998, it's back to its normal paint job. It's every decoration is gone, but you know, also recognizing that, you know, given the number of complaints they got during the anniversary year about the castle cake, this is actually what kind of tipped the scale for something that Disney had been wanting to do for a while. And that was, face it, they up until that point, when you went to Cinderella Castle and went upstairs to have a wonderful meal, you went to King Stephen's, which is wonderful. You know, great they use the Disney name. But that's Sleeping Beauty's dad?
I never understood that. For the longest time, I thought they were just trying to sort of like mash all the different castles together. I never understood why King Stephen's Banquet Hall was in Cinderella Castle.
I have the definitive answer on that question because I once spoke with Herbie Reimann about this. And basically he said, well, you know, you have to understand where we're building this thing and we were going to name the dining hall. And it's like, what's Cinderella's dad's name? And it's like, well, you're going to remember that Cinderella wasn't a princess when, you know.
Yeah. And that's how we ended up with Paul Blart Mall Cop Restaurant.
There we go. All right. So anyway, it's worth noting here that because of that reaction, this explains, you know, for example, for the 50th anniversary,
right,
when they did that whole worldwide Disney A Year of Celebration, you had all of these gold decorations that you really couldn't see from a distance. I mean, when you're up close, you could say, oh, look at the statue of the White Rabbit or Ka or King Louie, that sort of thing. Or or likewise, you could see maybe, you know, that magic mirror stained glass window thing that they hung in front there. But from all the way back at the wedding chapel, you couldn't see this stuff.
Nothing. And it looked from a distance. It was just Cinderella Castle. You mentioned in the show notes that the stained glass mirror scene changed every 40 seconds to a different castle. So Jim, I must have spent 4 months in the Magic Kingdom during that year. I literally did not know that's how subtle they were going with this castle until I read your show notes. I did not know that scene changed.
Well, more to the point, that also explains now why when you look at, like, you know, what they do with the castle now, you know, for example, for the Frozen holiday lights, you know, I mean, you know, that's draped over that, and that's a wonderful effect, but you can turn that off. Or, for example, you know, the wonderful projection show that you and I have talked about, the Happily Ever After.
It's like,
again, you know, wonderful show, but you can turn it off. Though, you know what's funny, though, Len, is that when you're standing there watching Happily After, one of the biggest reactions that they get out of the entire show is they do that amazing sort of run through 10 different looks of the castle, and one of them right in the middle is the 25th anniversary castle cake. And it's it is always fascinating to hear that noise, because there's people like, oh, hey, I remember that, and I liked that. And it's like, oh my God, that horrible thing is back again.
Exactly.
Killing with fire. You know,
it's just long enough that it's like a childbirth. It's just long enough to remember the good parts, but not long enough to remember the bad parts.
Oh,
remember that day? Oh, the pain. Yes. Oh, moving on to the next scene. Here we go.
So anyway, there's your Reader's Digest of the castle cake, and thank you for your birthday wishes. So
fantastic story, Jim. Happy birthday. Thanks very much for this episode. Guys, we'll see you soon. This is a quick update. We'll see you on the next show.